Mizmor Yud Aleph Pasuk Gimel. Again, page 96 in the Art School edition of Tehillim. Mizmor Yud Aleph Pasuk Gimel Ki Hashosoyis Yehi Rosum. We just started this yesterday. Tzadik Ma Poal. The Shosoyis. The Shosoyis means the foundation has been demolished, been overthrown. I don't have a good translation. It's very hard to translate the word Yeho Reisum. Been torn down. In English, you just make up words. You just make up. Ki horeis teheros mishlo. Rip it down. Tear it down. Tear it down. But there, as we mentioned yesterday, there are so many synonyms for demolition. It's very, very hard to differentiate between the different words. Good morning, Dr. Stern. It's very hard to differentiate. And see, if you come late, you get a special good morning. If you come early, you don't get anything. Okay. So Kihash associated us in the and it's Sadik Ma'apal, let's review the Mitzvah's David on page 97. On page 97, Pasuk Gimel Kihash Asayis HaRishoim Halalu HaOrusu Yisoyed Olam. The wicked have demolished, have torn down the foundation of the world. Okay, who are now the Mitzvah's David? He sounds like a Hasidish Rebbe now. And he tells, what is the foundation of the world? Go underground, find some important element that keeps this world in existence. The Mitzvah David says the foundation of the world are the Kohanim. And specifically in this instance, the Kohanim of Noiv Givon. Heim Kohanim Noiv Tzadikei, the righteous, Yisoidei Olam. The world, the Tzadikim is what maintains this world. The Tzadikim is what sustains, gives energy to the world to continue to exist. Sadik ma'apoal, al-atzmei omar David. Now this is a very interesting translation for the Mitzvah David to say that David is calling himself a tzaddik. You normally have a principle of yehalol chazor v'loy picha. David's son said this. David's own son Shlomo in Mishlei says, let someone else praise you. Yehalol chazor. And not praise yourself. There's a famous word on that, and that is Yalol Chazar. Veloy. What happens if no one wants to praise me? No one wants to say anything nice about me? Picha. So then you got to do it yourself. Okay, it's like the other word. Loy toiv heyois adam levad. It's not good for man to be alone. So what's the nasty twist on that the corrupt twist on that pasuk? There's machlokes be shamayim be silo. Is it kedai to be born? Is it they argued for two and a half years and they concluded better not come into this world. Mutav lo adam shaloi nivra loy toiv heyois adam. Period. It would have been better for man not to exist. No, now that he has come into this world, levadoi, stay to yourself. Don't look for trouble. There's always a kruma twist to everything. Yalocha zav lepicha. Yet over here, David HaMelech is singing his own praises. He is calling himself, I am the tzaddik. That's a pretty difficult parish. I have a hard time with this. David over here, according to the Mitzvah, David is saying, I did nothing wrong. I defend myself. I am a tzaddik. And I do not appreciate these wicked people coming and tormenting me for blaming me to be the cause of the churban of the city of Noiv Givon. This is the Mitzvah, David. So we have two yesodos. Number one, the tzaddikei olam are the foundation of the world. Number two, David is calling himself a tzaddik. In this regard, I'm calling myself a tzaddik. That usually, at least in the land that we live in, it never goes off well. When a person says, the pleads innocence, you come up against a ferocity, a very, very powerful.
Who was the first one who was called tzaddik?
Tzaddik, Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. Tamim hoya b'dayroisim. After Noach, Chazal doesn't say in the pasuk, Chazal called Yosef Hatzadik.
Right.
And I think that there's only one. There's another
so
person.
David is putting down the groundwork
for a tzaddik. When you
he's
do nothing.
The
in this context, tzaddik just doesn't mean tzaddik. It doesn't mean the way we use it colloquially. We use the word, it means he's a pious person. He's saintly, he does good ma'asim tovim, he davens, he learns the Yerushalayim. Oh, by the way, I want to learn today for Refuah Shleima. It's very, very serious matziv. The mashkiach of Chaim Berlin, of the Shir Rebbe Chaim Berlin, of Mordechai Zelig Shechter, the Rosh Yeshiva's son, is very not well. He's having today a very, very sensitive surgery. The whole yeshiva, as we speak right now, they're saying Tehillim. The whole yeshiva, they brought an old voice from all different departments to say Tehillim. And it's a very, very sad. It's a very sad situation. And our learning today should be for a refuah shleima for Mordechai Zelig ben Shoshana. Complete refuah. Chaim Berlin, from the people that I have a relationship with in Chaim Berlin, I've been there, Baruch Hashem, many, many years. Probably one of the people I have the best relationship with, the closest, is Mordechai Zelig. And it's very, very frightening. I was speaking to him on Monday. Monday, I found that either on Sunday or Monday. I found that on Sunday. In a conversation with him, talking to him. It's very, very frightening. Refuah Shleima. Okay, so the Hashasos Yehar Reisun Tzadik Ma'apol over here, the word Tzadik according to the Mitzudai study does not mean like we ordinarily think of Tzadik to mean a pious, saintly individual. All it really means, you know, according to the Mitzudai study, is that in respect to this claim, to this accusation, I am a Tzadik. Don't say that I committed this crime, it is shekem. I have nothing to do with what happened in the story of Noi the Givon. Leave me alone. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel says, Ki ashos yereisun al yideichem nehergu kohane Hashem hatzadikim sheheim shosois shel oilam. Through you, who's through you, who's al yideichem nehergu. I'm not sure, let's see the next words of Rashi. Tzadik ma'poal David, shaloichoto, ma'poal b'chol zois. Atem tisu avoin v'loi ani. Over here there's a shifting of the blame. Everyone is trying to point the finger. Shaul. No, I don't think his sons were involved in this ma'isa. The Shaul's sons, okay, you're saying good. That whole story is so bizarre. It's so out of our understanding. I don't know what to say. But in the story, obviously, Shaul, Doeg, Achitofel, there were many other people who were traitors to David. They are the ones that are responsible, and don't you dare say it was I. Obviously, this event is a stain in the history of Klal Yisrael, where what is so horrible about this situation, it was within. No, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Yisroel by Nebuchadnezzar, the Bayis Sheni by the Romans. Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim. Everything, all the Chorbanos happened because of enemies from without. Who destroyed Noiv? Within. It's horrific. If you want to talk, you know, there's a very popular medrash that says that. It appears in different forms that there were seven Batei Mikdashos in the history of the Jewish people. It was the Mishkan for 40 years in the desert, plus they came in 40 years in the desert. It was Gilgal for 14 years. Then there was Shiloh for 369 years. Then there's Noiv and Givon. Noiv and Givon is another two. Noiv and then Givon. After Noiv came Givon for a total of 57 years. For some reason, no one identifies exactly how many years the Mikdash stood in Noiv and how many years it stood in Givon. And then there's the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Shem. And Chazal, this is very difficult, this part I never understood, I still don't understand. Chazal say why, and we're waiting for the eighth, the Hashmini, we're waiting for the eighth Mikdash, the Bayis Shlishi. Why did it have to happen that seven Mikdashos, we had to go through the rise and fall of seven Mikdashos until we come to the eighth, the ultimate Bayis Shlishi. So they're different Midrash. One popular Midrash is that Yaakov Avinu bowed before Esav 7 times. When Yaakov met Esav, Esav came with 400 men too to destroy him. And Yaakov Avinu bowed before him. It says in the pasuk, we count the number of times that it says the word Hishtachava, it's 7 times. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pleased. He was not pleased that Yaakov, he humbled himself so many times, 7 times. And as a consequence of those 7 bows, we lost 7 mikdashos to our enemies. And Esav, and Rachel will explain, Esav is Edom, but yet in another dimension, Esav is the catch-all for all of our enemies. Whether it was the Nebuchadnezzar, it was the Romans, it was Parasumadai, Esav is the catch-all. So because Yaakov humbled himself too much before Esav, we lost 7 mikdashos. There is another measure, this is something similar, that when the Shvatim appeared before Yosef, Yosef in disguise as the Mishneh Lemelech, as a Shofnas Paneach, the one who ruled Egypt, they said to Yosef, our father, your servant, Avdecha Avinu, Av, the word Eved, they called their father Yaakov Avinu in Eved 7 times. We count in the conversation that the Shvat, the brothers, had with Yosef, they referred to the father as an Eved 7 times, and Yosef did not protest. Yosef, that's right, the father is my servant. He was silent.
No, he couldn't talk then. Yaakov
also couldn't talk. He had to bow down before Esav. You're right, you're 100% right. But this is what happened.
Well, that's of course.
This is what happened, you're right.
Yosef, to some degree, or not, you know, he decided that he wanted his dreams to come true, and so he forced the issue. He could have let the cat out of the bag earlier.
Yeah, we don't live in a perfect world. Obviously, they had a choice. They didn't have a choice. Did Yaakov have a choice? Well, he's not going to bow before Esav. The Shvatim are not going to say Avdecha Avinu. That's the way you speak in front of the Melech. You're right. They didn't have a choice. But at the end of the day, what's it happened? Okay, this is Hashem's department and how it all came about. Did they really overdo it? Well, they weren't. They were smarter than them. We can say in hindsight they overdid it.
Well, only judging by.
What are you going to do? This is the way it fell out. Okay, So what does it come out? It comes out in two different ways. So because they said 7 times, Avdecha Avinu, and Yosef was quiet. He accepted it.
Yeah, I don't know. It says he said it 5 times, and 5 times he took him and said it. That's why Yosef
was... I think it says 7 times. It says 7 times. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I don't know. We have to go look over it.
Yeah, all right.
But I remember that. I see that. Certainly he bowed down, he bowed 7 times.
Maybe
there are other examples. These are not the only two. There are many more examples of 7 times something happened that was not ideal. It was a necessary evil. But because it did happen, it had consequences. And the consequence was that before we will be merit to have the final Hashem to rest his divine presence with permanence in this world, there will be 7 cycles, 7 different ups and downs, and our enemies will defeat us 7 times. And that's why there were so far 7 centers of Kedusha where Hashem rests his divine presence. The Mishkan, number 1, Gilgal, then it was Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Sheni. 7. So it says explicitly in this Chazal that 7 Mikdashos, Choraf. I think it actually says in 1. And it always bothered me. Choraf? Bishlam, I understand the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni is Choraf. Shiloh was Choraf. I understand. Noiv was Choraf. Now, what about Givon? Givon, it doesn't seem was Chorav Adarava. It was a Mila. Now we're going. They took the Oroin from Givon, and they brought it to Ir David, and then it was there for a period of time until they built the Shlomo, built the Beis Hamikdash, and they brought it to the Beis Hamikdash. Why do we refer to it as a Churban? Gilgal.
It was disassembled.
Yeah, but that's not, this is symbol for a good reason. There were 42 Masois. Okay. We don't refer to the 42 Masois in the Midbar as each time they took apart the Mishkan, yeah. it was a Chorban.
Yeah, but the point is, we should have had a permanent place. And you see, you know, things happen and we keep bouncing around and
okay, you have to be creative.
Describes,
yeah, but what about the Mishkan? What about the Mishkan? The Mishkan for 40 years. Why, when that came to an end, is that called a Chorban? Why Gilgal after 14 years they concluded the Kibush? The Kibush, the Chiluk of Sa'aretz. Why is that called a Chorban? Where is the tragedy? Chazal, they say explicitly, because Yaakov Avinu bowed down 7 times for each bow that brought about a Chorban. Where's the Chorban? 40 years in the desert, what's the Chorban?
Hamakom, the place, yeah. Lost the Mishkan. It's not that the Mishkan was not the
Choravia,
but the place.
The Midbar lost the Zuchus, that's the Chorban?
No, Al-Pi Hashem. Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, Al-Pi
right. Hashem. So why is that part of this collection of 7? Mm-hmm. I understand he's bowing down. Bowing down, he's submitting, to a higher authority, Esau. Yaakov Avinu, oh, you want to go and humble yourself before Esav? You know what? They're going to destroy you one day. They're going to destroy you. And indeed, they destroy by Rishon, by Yesheni, Shiloh, I get it. Noiv also. Noiv is the more painful one. Where is the Chorban in the Mishkan? Where is the Chorban? Where is this, the correlation between bowing down and the Mishkan coming to an end after 40 years? Where is the correlation between Gilgal and bowing down? I don't know. But one thing we do know, and this is very, very disturbing, from the 7, you'll have to obviously delve very deeply into this matter. And there's going to be, we'll come out of it, there are 7 different types of chorbonos in Klal Yisrael. The chorbon of the Bayis Rishon is not the same as the chorbon of Bayis Shem. The chorbon of Shiloh is not the same, they're very different. Chazal's Bayis Rishon was because of the Zerah Gilia, Rai Shvi Chaston. Bayis Shem was the generalizations. Shiloi was corruption. Okay, that's a big one. But unfortunately, that is not discussed very much. Shiloi. Shiloi is big, big, big stuff. Big stuff. Shiloi is 369 years, and Chofnil, there the Pesukim, they really mentioned the 2 sins. They mentioned the corruption of the Kohanim. The Kohanim were corrupt, and it was a heavy corruption amongst the Kohanim,
yeah.
And that was the primary source of the Chorban of Shiloh. That's not the same as Avodah Zarah, Gil, Yerai, Shlichastam. That's not the same as Sinas Chinam. It's a whole different type of Chorban. Midbar. You have to analyze what Chazal mean that the Midbar came to an end. Maybe what it means is to some degree. Why was, let's look La'asid Lavo. There's a Chazal that says that La'asid Lavo, the Mishkan will be reassembled. Not the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the Mokam of the final resting place. But what about the Mishkan? There's going to be somewhere where the Mishkan will be reassembled. And it will be a Beis HaKnesses. If I'm not mistaken, it says in Chazal, people will come to the Mishkan as a Beis HaKnesses. Can you imagine going? Oh, I always wondered about the crushing, how it looked. Instead of going and opening up the art scroll book on the Mishkan, you'll take a trip to the Mishkan and you can see with your own eyes exactly what the Mishkan looked like, because here it is. Now, obviously, what that means is, so it creates the question, why didn't they already have this in when they came, when they went to Shiloh, when they came to Shiloh, and they erected a permanent structure, which we know very little about, by the way. We know a lot about the Bayis Rishon. We have books and books showing you all the diagrams and pictures. We have a lot of Mamorei Chazal, and we have some very Choshev Sram that try to depict with precision what the Bayis Rishon looked like. The best that we have. We have an enormous amount of material describing what exactly the Bayis Sheni looked like. Enormous. Bayis Shlishi, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, Sefer Yecheskel, a lot of good stuff trying to show exactly what the Bayis Shlishi looks like. So Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, pretty good. Mishkan, pretty good. Got a lot of good stuff on the Mishkan also. What do we know almost nothing about? Almost zero? Shiloh, not even Givai. Zero. Mamish zero. No, not, nothing about these things. 269 years.
A fairly good idea where that Mishkan was.
Maybe. Fairly good idea, right? But as far as what it looked like, we know that it had stone walls and had ureos out for the ceiling. That's all we know about. That's it. That's the whole thing. There were ureos and there were stone walls. What does that mean? That's all we know about it. They were there for 369 years. It was equivalent to the Bayis Rishon. And no one could ever possibly imagine that Shiloh would be destroyed. It was more impossible for Shiloh to be destroyed than the Bayis Rishon to be destroyed. And if you would say to the Jewish people, we learned this from Yeshaya, the worst thing you can say to Klal Yisrael, the biggest klala, is if you don't behave yourself, it's going to be Shiloh all over again. There is no worse insult to say to the Jewish people than what I just said. When Yeshaya would say that you're going to do teshuvah, if you're not going to do teshuvah, there's going to be punishment, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. Okay, you can go say, for someone to say to Klal Yisrael that if you don't behave, what you have now, you have a Bayis Rishon, it will be Shiloh all over again. That crosses the red line. It was try to use your imagination. We talk about recent history, and some will say it'll happen all over again. You're crossing the line to say such a thing, and that's how powerful Shiloh was. Okay, we know nothing about what Shiloh looked like, but during when Shiloh was erect, where was the Mishkan? Why did they have to put the Mishkan in Geniza? Why couldn't they have the Mishkan here? Here is Shiloh. And by the way, there's another place where you can go. It's not where we offer the Korbanos, but it's a Mokoyim Kodosh. And you can go there for inspiration, for Yerushalayim, to David. It's a holy place. No. No, the Migdash just means this is the place where you bring the Korbanos.
I understand the significance, I mean the overall concept.
Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to suggest that was the Korban. Just because the Mishkan, the Shiloh was erected, why should we have to lose the advantage, the Milos of Gilgal, of the Mishkan that was erected in Gilgal? Because why do I have a right to say this? Because there's a Chazal, so they have a famous Chazal, that La'asalava, when the Mikdash, the Bayis Shlishi will be built, they will reveal at that time the Mishkan. And the Mishkan will also be assembled, erected. Where? Not in Har Bayis. Har Bayis is just somewhere else. Anyway, the Mishkan traveled. Somewhere else. Maybe they'll take it around. Maybe every couple of months they'll bring the Mishkan. They'll reassemble it, coming to your town. No, we'll have the Elif Aleph a billion of dollars of the circus is coming to town. So I told Elif Aleph, why not? We're going to bring the Mishkan to your city, so everyone can come and have inspiration. It was meant to be taken apart. The Masois, they took it apart. They reassembled it. There's a lot to learn in how they took it apart. The wagons and this. Why not? It was a learning experience.
We could be going to Eretz Yisrael.
No, not America, but even in Eretz Yisrael, you know, Eretz Yisrael, Chazal, it says in the end of Sefer Yecheskel, there's going to be gridlock there in Yerushalayim. Okay, even now, you know, you go to Yerushalayim now, it's unbelievable, it's impossible. You're going to drive to the Kaisel. No, you can't even get into the city unless you have a pass. You cannot go into today. That's amazing. Today, you go into the old city, it's all electronic. The only car that can enter into the old city is a vehicle that has an electronic tag that has been, you have a permit from the government to enter into the old city. Otherwise, the gate's not going to rise. They limit the number of vehicles to specific to taxis and to people who actually live there. visitors. You want to rent a car, and you think you can be able to drive anywhere near Yerushalayim in the inner city? No way. No way. We have gridlock there. Chazal said that's what it's going to be like. There's a people like that. So people need inspiration. They'll take the Mishkan from city to city. They will erect it. They'll take it apart exactly the way they did in the Midbar. Chazal cannot say this. So why couldn't they do this during the time of Shiloh? We were not Zoich. We had Shiloh. It was the place of the Hashuas HaShchina. But we lost the advantage of also having the Madrega, the exalted Madrega of the Mishkan. The Mishkan had an element of Kedusha that Shiloh did not have. And that we did not merit. Why not? I don't know why not. But we can't ignore this Chazal that said that because Yaakov Avinu he bowed down seven times, we lost seven Madregos, seven different Mikdashas. Now, we're going off track, but the point is, from the seven things that we lost, the one that stands out front and center is Noiv. That was the worst. That was a worse Chorban than the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, Shiloh, all put together. You know why? We did it. We did it with our own bare hands. Shaul HaMelech, the Ish, that was Gavah, Mikol Adam, Mishichma Ulamala, he did it. He gave the command. And Doiko Adam, who was Chazal, a world-renowned Talmud Chacham, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula on a single pace. He did it. He did. Why? Jealousy. He was jealous. Jealous of David. You see, Hakina, Hataiva, the Hakavod. How far he can go. He can corrupt a person's mind to do the most outrageous things to destroy Noiv. It's unbelievable. And here this pasuk says it exactly. Hashosois. The people that were murdered were literally the foundation of this world. And it was done, it was destroyed by us, not because of our sins, and because we did Averos, or it trickled down, and the Goyim came, and they did. We did it with our own bare hands. No one had to do anything. It's unbelievable how shocking this is. Okay, if you want, you can make a whole analysis of the seven Mikdashos correspond to the seven Mo'adim. No, we have each of the Mo'adim, if you allow parallels, each of the Mo'adim has a unique flavor, and the seven Mikdoshas that we have their unique flavor. If you were to match this up, Chanukah would be a perfect match for Noiv. Because the story of Chanukah was where we, on our own, because of the Mesiyavim, we explain that Chanukah is a civil war, internal. The Yevanim from the outside influenced the Jews from within, and the Jews from within, they destroyed themselves. And the miracle was that we came back, and the tzaddikim were able miraculously to overcome from all within. Noiv was a story. The rise and fall of Noiv is all from within, which fits very much into the theme of Chanukah. And you have to match up the other seven Mikdashos with Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Purim, Yom Ha'aretz. Each one, if you focus on the seven Mo'adim, and you focus on the seven Mikdashos, you can see a parallel in between what the Moed represents and the unique flavor in Jewish history of what that particular Mikdash represented. And certainly Noiv, which was Chora from within, would fit very well into the theme of Chanukah, which is also within. The whole struggle was an internal struggle. Hashosois Yehei Reisim. So this Rashi says, since we're coming over here to shift the blame, it's your fault, now don't put the blame on me. All right, let's take a look over here. There's some very important Mamari Chazal. Mamari Chazal, you learn the Mamari Chazal, you're really learning a lot of the Mefarshim. They did us here, Art School did us an incredible favor by putting on the page. There's no edition of the Mikros Gedolos that has this. And before we had, I had the Art School, I used to buy this green This remember is when we first started the shir, I had this green, these green volumes, Oitzer Midrashim. So what do? The Oitzer Midrash. I wonder if Arshkol just took it from them, because they're almost identical, and it would collect all of the Midrashim. And where do you get the Midrashim? Very easy. You don't have to go on the computer. All you got to do is just learn all the Mefarshim. The other Mefarshim are just quoting, they're citing these Midrashim.
The truth is,
yeah,
mostly what we've seen have been either from Gemara or
Medrash.
Or, no, not so much Medrash. Yeah. But you see, if you look at the citation, you see often Yerushalmi, and
here we have a Mechilta. There's a Mechilta here.
Occasionally, yes.
Okay, and there's also Medrash here, also Medrash. But it's very good, because you learn this, you're really learning many of the Mefarshim already are really rooted in what it says in the Chazal. Learn the Chazal, you already have an appreciation of what's going on. Pasuk Gimel, still those here on the very bottom, page 9, in the very bottom. Ki Ashosos Yereisun Tzadik Mapoal, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eina. Chadam one says, Ilu Chizkiya Visi Oso Hayu Neharosim Tzadik Hadash Baruch Hu Mapoal. If Chizkiya and his followers would have been, the Medrash over here, as we learned yesterday as well in the previous pasuk, wants to understand this pasuk is being stated regarding Chizkiya, an entirely different time, but much later in history. You got to fast forward like 250 years from the time of David. David was before the Bayis Rishon. Chizkiya was almost two-thirds through the Tekufa of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, David wasn't the Beis HaMikdash yet. We're going now 250 years into the Bayis Rishon, when already after the time when, more almost 300 years, when Sancheriv has already exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and the last holdout in Klal Yisrael is Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu has arrived with his army to conquer the last holdout. And even within, this is a traumatic time for the Jewish people. We learned yesterday that even within Klal Yisrael, there were two groups. Okay, we know during the Bayis Shalishi, during the Chumash of the Bayis Sheni, there were three groups. There were the Purushim, and there were the Bar Yonim. There were three groups. I forgot the name. There were three groups towards the end of the Bayis Sheni. Those that wanted to fight, and those that wanted to surrender.
Make shalom.
One wanted to fight. One wanted to make shalom. One just wanted to hold out. Just to delay. There were three groups. I forgot the whole area. I forget the history of the world during the Bayis. There were three groups. During the time of Chizkiyahu, when Klal Yisrael was nearly defeated, there were two groups. There was Chizkiyahu, who was in control, and he refused to surrender. And there was the majority of the Jewish people, who was led by a person by the name of Shevna, and he wanted to surrender. He wanted desperately to surrender, and Chazal over here said, that's why it's over here, V'si Osoi. The reason why it says Chizkiyahu V'si Osoi, what is the Chizkiyahu? The Melech represents the whole Klal Yisrael. Not so. Not in his time. Chizkiyahu did not represent the entire Klal Yisrael. He in fact represented the minority of Klal Yisrael. He was fortunate to be in power, to be in control of the military, to make the decisions. But there was a significant number of people that disagreed with Chizkiyahu. That's why it says Visi Osoi and his camp, his chever. Chizkiya and his chevra, in contrast to Shevna and his chevra. So Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Chanan says, "Ilu Chizkiya b'siyaso hayu neherasim." If Sancheriv would have succeeded in defeating Chizkiya and his camp, tzaddik. So here we learn, according to the opinion of Chazal, the word tzaddik is a code word for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the tzaddik. Tzadik mo poal, what mo hasachar, the editor added, mo hasachar shehu meshalim loy. Now what does that mean exactly? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he get out of it? What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu get out of this world if, in other words, this is just another way of saying, asay leman shemecha. In our Nusach HaTfilu, we often say to Hashem, do it, not for us, do it for you. You have you're heavily invested in this world. You created this world. You exert yourself. You're involved in the hashgacha of this world, the hashgacha klolis, hashgacha pratis. You've put in so much effort into this world. Hashem, you're just going to let the world come to an end? That you're going to allow this? You're heavily invested. Asay leman shemecha. According to Chazal, the time period of this pasuk is Chizkiyahu, and this pasuk is equivalent to saying Asay leman shemecha. It's just a more eloquent form. Tzadik ma po'ol. What did you gain out of all this, Hashem? The Chacham one says ilu beis hamikdash yehores tzadik ma po'al. Similar. And when it says here the word hashasois, hashasois refers to not to Chizkiyah, it refers to the Beis Hamikdash. So he's giving us two translations. Either refers to the shasois, that will take us to a total of three translations. We learned so far the Mitzudas and Rashi. They understood the word hashasois refers to the Kohanim of Noiv. That's what it refers to. And it's a statement of fact. It's a statement of fact of what happened. Ki hashasos yehoresun, which means it happened. It happened. It's in the past tense. The Kohanim of Noiv have been destroyed, have been killed. And now we're saying, Tzadik Ma'apol, Doug, what do you want from me? I have nothing to do with this. According to Chazal, no. It's not referring, it's not a statement of fact, it's a plea. Are you going to let it happen that the shasois, that it will be said about the shasois that they were destroyed? Are you going to allow it? And who are the shasois in these two opinions? Either the shasois refers to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is the foundation of this world. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was righteous, and he is called the foundation of this world. And according to the second interpretation, it is the Beis HaMikdash, the Bais Rishon, that was called the Shosos. Will you allow it just to be destroyed for nothing? Hashem, what's going to be with you? What's going to be with all of your effort? Tzadik ma'apol ayein nifl ois shal kodesh baruch hu. V'ulama one says no. Another interpretation. Ilu machshav ayisav shal ois harasha shevna. Eina neherasos. He turns the pasuk around the other way around. It's a bakosha. Let the evil plot of Shevna, and in this interpretation, Shevna is called the Shosos. There's an infrastructure. Evil is not just, you know, a passing bird. This is a very powerful idea. Evil has an infrastructure. Evil has a thick, heavy foundation. According to this interpretation, we're describing Shevna and his followers. They are a permanent structure in this world. You just can't go and, you know, push them away. It requires heavy-duty equipment. When you want to remove a foundation, you got to dig deep and you have to bring in the heavy-duty equipment to go and uproot the foundation. If you're not Hashem going to destroy the Russia, Shevna, and his followers, and their evil plot to cause Klal Yisrael to be destroyed from within, Tzadik Ma'apol. Who's the tzaddik? And in this interpretation, who is the tzaddik? Not Hashem, not David. Chizkiyah in this interpretation is called the tzaddik. So what's going to do with Chizkiyah? Tzaddik, Chizkiyah, and Sukharai. Okay, so over here, in this marriage alone, we have basically, it's just a flip of each other. We're talking about the era of Chizkiyah, and we're talking about that if the Chizkiyah and Klal Yisrael is in grave danger, and they're under attack, and we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come to their salvation, to come there, and there's just different ways, and so everyone agrees at the end of the day what the pasuk is trying to say is, do not allow the Jewish people to be destroyed. The only question is, how do you translate the words to get to that conclusion? According to all of the interpretations, these three interpretations that were presented, they're all the same. The period of time is the time of Chizkiyah. The enemy is Sanherib. The tzaddik, we have a tzaddikim of Chizkiyah v'Siyosef. And then there's an enemy from within called Shevna. The cast of characters and the backdrop and the screenplay, it's all the same. The question, though, is just how do you read it into the words of the pasuk? Who is the tzad? Is the tzadik Chizkiah? Is the tzadik Hashem? And who are the shasois? Is the shasois Chizkiah? Is the shasois Hashem? I mean, the Beis Hamikdash? Or no, the other way around, that the shasois is the infrastructure of evil that is in this world. So this week we learn Targum. We learn Rashi and Targum. So we learn with the premise, with the principle that Rashi is writing a commentary on Unkelus, clear as day. And very often we come across a word in Rashi, Kitargumoi. Rashi many times says nothing about the Targum. Sometimes he quotes it and he destroys the Targum and he manuscripts him apart. And then Rashi quotes the Targum and he's very polite and he says, Targum, you say this, I disagree. Rashi is always busy with the Targum. And sometimes, every once in a while, Rashi says, Kitargumai. And then he goes on to give a whole new pshat. What does that mean? So we explain what it means is, pretty clear in many contexts, Rashi is saying, you know, there are two things in every pasuk. There is the pshat, the storyline, and then there is how to translate the words to get to that conclusion. So Rashi, when he says Kitargum, very often he means Targum, what you said, the pshat in the pasuk is correct. The point that you are trying to bring out in the way you translated the words of the pasuk is absolutely 100% correct. However, the way you translated the words to get there is wrong. I agree with you that at the end of the day, this is what the pasuk means to say. But the way you came to that, the way you translated the words to come to that conclusion, you're off. And this is the correct way to translate the words in the pasuk to reach that very same conclusion. Kitargumai. Your conclusion is correct. But the translation to reach that conclusion has to be recalibrated. Sitting over here. Everyone at the end of the day agrees the time period. They agree who the enemies are. They agree who the tzaddikim are, and they agree that we're in a very desperate situation and we need Hashem to help us. The only question is, how do you translate the words in the pasuk to come to that conclusion? So now the Gemara wants to analyze what's Bishlam, according to the Mandi Amar, back in the Mamech Chazal, the Mandi Amar, I'm now over here on the bottom page of Talmud, it's 1, 2, 3, 5 lines down. Ilu, machshavos shel oisa rasha, we understand that when we say the word hashasois, refers to the plans of the rasha. Beautiful chazal here. That the word shasois is a word which means plan, a thought. Because this word has they're related in language. A person sets, the word meshis means to firmly entrench. To firmly put in place. There's nothing more rooted, grounded in this world than your thoughts, your beliefs. Okay, a person's beliefs. There's nothing more set in place. The biggest building in the world. Come with a bulldozer, gone. Bring some dynamite. The biggest building in the world can come down in 1, 2, 3. The biggest tree in the world. Bring in a lumberjack, they'll take it down in a second. But your belief, what you believe in, you can never take out of a person. Never. There's nothing you can do to take out of a person what they truly believe in. And therefore, the word hashasos, there could be no better translation. No, there is nothing in this world that fits better into the word foundation than a machshava. So according to the opinion that says that the term ki hashasos yeharesun, it is a plea. Hashem, please make it be that the thoughts, the plans of the evil man, Shevna, who is trying to undermine Chizkiyahu and surrender to Chizkiyah, let it be that those plans are uprooted, are demolished. That makes a lot of sense. But Ulaman de Omar Beis Hamikdash Nami, even according to the other.
You see, in the brackets, those thoughts.
Nacious,
his heart set on.
Bekiras, the walls of his heart. There's nothing more in this world that is permanent than your beliefs. The Beis HaMikdash is also a permanent structure in this world. Hashem's divine presence, when it's present, there's nothing that's a real structure. The Tanan, Evan, where do we find this? This is fascinating how he puts all this together. Evan Haisa Sham Bimos Nivim, the Evan Hashisiyah. Why the Evan that's the foundation stone of the world. The world was created from that stone, from that location, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash is located, because the Beis HaMikdash is the lifeblood of this world. Mimos Nivim Harishonim U Shisiyah Haisa Nikres. It was called Shisiyah. Now the Dome of the Rock, they tell you that's the Evan Shisiyah. Is that really true? It's very unlikely. Very, very unlikely that the Dome of the Rock.
Well, who's telling you that?
The Temple Mount Institute.
Oh, okay.
Very proudly will tell you, and they even partnered with art school. They put out this magnificent book with beautiful illustrations and pictures and maps and showing you, and they have no hesitation in telling you that the Dome of the Rock is the Evan Shisiyah, which, according to even many, many scholars, and especially cutting-edge research, it's not. The Dome of the Rock was a fortress, a tall, tall tower that was built by Hordis at the last 100 years of the Bayis Sheni, when Hordis doubled, literally doubled.
Your mic is off.
My mic is off. Do you hear me? Rabbi Lezer, do you hear me? You don't hear me, Heshi?
No.
I hear you now.
Rabbi Lezer.
Heshi,
they say I'm good.
Okay, you're good, but okay, I can't hear something. All right.
Maybe reboot your device. I've discovered that on my, if you have another device, another app on that's also using the sound, it will prevent Zoom from functioning properly. The telephone goes on, or you have a recorder, or a YouTube video playing in the background. Somehow it can interfere with the Zoom, the sound of the Zoom. All right, let's go back. So going back to many scholars today have even done radar. I read this. They went over the Temple Mount and they've done radar, and there's just nothing but stone in that area of Temple of the Har Bayis. It's just hard rock all the way down. Whereas the part to the right, they can see actually ruins. They can see deep down. They can see, I don't know how some technology, they can see actually a structure used to be there. Hordis doubled the length. It used to be 500 amos by 500 amos. Today, it's approximately 1,000 amos by 500 amos. Chazal say that he expanded. Hordis expanded the temple, the Har Habayis. He doubled Har Habayis to, and that portion he doubled was to make more room for people to come. And also, they built on that section a tower, a migdal, a lookout tower. And it had to have a very, very strong foundation, very robust foundation. And that's why the bottom, it's all stone. And it was very, very, very tall to be a watchtower to see what's going on, any enemies are approaching. And that was demolished. Of course, the whole thing was completely demolished, turned into a garbage dump. And they destroyed everything. And years later, they came, they found all this rock. So they did, oh, this has to be the Dome of this has to be the Evan Shisiyah. It's very unlikely. Very unlikely. Listen, if it is, if in Kabbalah, I'll be the first one to agree to be Mekabel. If there's such a Mesorah, then yes. But it doesn't appear to be there's any Mesorah about anything. Everything over there is conjecture. And there's some very, very fascinating analysis. You read all the stuff and go. But when you go to the Temple Mount, they don't tell you all the opinions. They tell you, you go to the museum, you go on the tunnel tours, there's only one opinion. And it's not true. There's not only one opinion. There are really three. There are three. And probably when Mashiach will come, they'll probably all be wrong. That will probably be the big joke will be on us. They're all wrong. But they only present one of three possible approaches to the layout of what exactly, where everything was located on the Har Habayis. And it seems that more recent times, many people are coming over to a different approach to make some readjustments based upon new discoveries and that through technology and other things have come to light to recalibrate where everything exactly stood on the Har Habayis. But in any event, there's something called the Even Shesia. So therefore that makes sense. So the question now is, what about according to the third opinion that says the word Shesia refers to Tzidkiyahu? How does that make sense? A little over here. Hecha Nagdan Evanisa Shami Musa Yundivim Shoshigres Elaman Yama Chizke V'Siyasai. If you're going to go to over here, is that the word Shasai refers to Chizkiyahu? Where do we find the source that tzaddikim are called a foundation? Hecha Ashkechan Tzaddikim Deikru Shasai. So the Gemara says, I found it in Sefer Shmuel. Dersev ki la Hashem mitzukei eretz, to Hashem are the foundation, the righteous, mitzukei loshav tzaddik. Tzaddik, the dalet is not there, the mitzukei eretz. The word mitzukei simply is translated as pillars. That's not the usual use of the word pillar. You don't call a pillar. The word, where do you find, but that's what it means in that context. And it's not to be ignored that it has the same letters as tzaddik, missing the dalet. But it's according to Chazal would not so medactic on every single letter when it comes to drush. It's close enough to indicate by design that a tzaddik is the yesod of the world. The tzaddikim, this world, they are the foundation of the world. Amudei haaretz shehem tzaddikim. Vayoshes alei, the pasuk concludes, Vayoshes alei im tevel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayoshes. The pillars of the world of the tzaddikim, and upon these pillars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he set. Vayoshes means he set upon them the world. The world continues to exist in the merit of the tzaddikim. We once learned there are different numbers of tzaddikim. One chazal says there are lamid vav tzaddikim. There are 36 tzaddikim. Another chazal says there are 18,000 tzaddikim. There's another chazal that says, I think there are 45 tzaddikim. It's a Gemara. How do you reconcile all of these different? There were three tzaddikim in the world. There's a Gemara that the different Gemara and Chazal different give you different amount of different numbers regarding how many tzaddikim the world needs in order to exist. Elu the Elu Elokim Chayim. There are different types of tzaddikim, different madrigos, different. There are many dimensions. This world is not simple. There are many dimensions. And in certain dimensions, there are 36. Another dimension, there are 18,000. Another dimension, there are 3. There are 45. There are many different dimensions. But whatever they are, they all have in common that these tzaddikim who follow Hashem's Rasan, it is in their merit that the world continues to spin. It's in their merit the world continues to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged in this world, shows interest in this world, and guides this world and prevents it from being destroyed in the merit of these tzaddikim. So they are the foundation of the world. Next, another pasuk by saying Hacha, Hifli Eitza. This refers to tzaddikim. It's a beautiful pasuk. This pasuk, Hifli Eitza, their counsel is wondrous. Higdil to Shia, they increase to Shia. Is the word to Shia? Simply means, well, I don't have a simple translation, they're back. It means it's a word for Torah.
Counsel and advice.
They call it the advice to Shia. Eitza visoshia. Nenin nimenu eitza, they write about people, they probably read in the ads in the journal. Nenin nimenu eitza visoshia. We benefit from him. Both words mean advice. It's just poetic form of a repetition. Advice, counsel. Counsel, you have a question. What?
The root is Vav Shin Ayin.
Okay.
And that means to be wide, spacious.
Broadness of the mind.
The opposite of Tzorah. To be narrow, your eyes.
To be broad, have a broad space. Overview of the entire world. A broadness of the mind.
Okay,
colloquially, it refers to advice, your broadness. A person sees the big picture. You go to a wise man, You go to a wise, what should I do? So a person that's not wise, he just sees what's in front of him. Oh, Ezel Chacham, Haroya Es HaNoilat. You see the big picture. There's a broadness. Eitza V'Sushia. Same thing over here. Hifli Eitza Higdil Tushia. So this pasuk is said concerning a wise min HaTalmud Chacham Yerushalayim. They have wondrous, wondrous advice. They have wondrous counsel. And this pasuk is describing the root of Tushia, which also was Shasois, the foundation. HaTayra Shenegres Tushia Al Shem Sha'olam Mushtos Al HaTayra V'loim Deha. The tzaddikim are one and the same. They are synonymous with the Torah. So this Chazal really is over the top, beautiful Chazal. This Chazal over here puts together so many beautiful things. Takes this pasuk, it says ki hashosos yehoresun tzaddik ma poal. We have here so many perushim. Who is the tzaddik? Is the tzaddik Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Is the tzaddik David? Is the tzaddik Chizkiyahu? All of them are valid. And is the tzaddik the kohanim? Those three. Who are the shosos? Who are they? Is it Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu the tzaddik? He was a tzaddik. Is the shosos referring to the kohanim of Noiv? Is the shosos referring to the Beis Hamikdash? Is the shosos referring to the evil plots of the wicked? All of these are elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, all depending on how you want to translate the word. To me, what really strikes out at me is that if you learn, like we mentioned before, is that if you want to learn that this pasuk refers to the evil plot, the evil thoughts of Shevna, it really brings out something important that relates to the entire Mizmar. When we started this Mizmar, so we learned the Malbim, and the Malbim said, this Mizmar is a vikuach. Is David is continuing his discussion of tzaddik viraloi rasha v'tovlo. We're going to describe the success of the wicked. So some people, very naive, they look at this world and they see there are criminals. There's the mafia and there's this mishugana, this mishugana, that mishugana. No, there are a lot of crazy people out there. A lot of people have strange ideas. They do all different. Evil is, you know, it's just like the common cold. When the person gets a cold, what do? You take off a couple of days, you get a bad cold, So you go home, you sleep a couple of days, you take some medicine. You know, there's evil out there. Eventually, the cold goes away. After a couple of days, you know, you no longer have a runny nose, you stop sneezing, you feel good, back in business. Okay, many people believe that. Many people, they don't appreciate how, they don't think, realize how dangerous evil is in this world. Evil is evil. Eventually, we'll catch the criminal, or the criminal will die, will perish. I remember when I was in Yeshiva Chaim, there was always a ganf. Some people, you know, penny theft. So I remember the principal, he said to me, you know, I'm teaching here already 30 years. When is the ganf going to graduate? High school is only 4 years. So if you have a ganf in the yeshiva, we'll come one day and something is missing, so obviously one of the students stole something. No, so how long will the ganef be in the yeshiva? If the ganef is the worst scenario, he's in ninth grade, right? Ninth grade. So after 4 years, there should be no more ganef in yeshiva. I'm here already 30 years, and I'm still waiting for the ganef to graduate. So many people are very naive, and they think, you know, evil, big deal, you know, you have to watch, guard yourself. It's not true. The older you get, the more you learn. Evil is heavily entrenched in this world. Evil is very sophisticated. It's deep. Okay, they call in the government the deep state, conspiracy theorist. The deep state. Evil is a very frightening thing. They're organized. They're very powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yetzirah enormous sophistication, strength. They control everything, the evil people. And this, according to one of the interpretations of this pasuk, that's exactly what it says. it calls evil with a term that is frightening. To say that evil is the foundation of this world. You can't just get rid of it. You just can't, okay, you know, we'll just dance around. No. You can't just ignore it. It's there. It's thick. It's heavy. It's a big problem. It's not going away. It presents here evil with a term that the average person would never imagine using such a term. And David, who is obviously the greatest psychologist and a great observer of how this world works, by him using this term, according to one of the interpretations of Chazal, is impressing upon us, don't just think evil is the common cold. It's a serious matter which has to be dealt with with the utmost degree of seriousness, because it's here to stay. And we have to be extremely careful and cautious in how to deal with what we have on our hands. Okay, let's see another Chazal quickly. Amar Rabbi Zoira. I never heard him before, this name. You hear Rabbi Chaim Vachol, you ever heard this name before?
Which?
Amar Rabbi Zoira. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I never heard such a name. Zoira. This is Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was Komraba Shachtei L'Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira is a Chazal thing. He was a very sad person. He was very sad. He always gloom and doom. The world was coming to an end. Rabbi was a stand-up comedian. It's not a good shidduch. It's not a good shidduch when you have a stand-up comedian dying.
That story might be just a
what?
It's more from Yushalmi, so it might be just a twist of the name.
Could be. Enochanami. Though they were very different persons. Purim's coming along soon. What happened on Purim? The ultimate Purim Suda. Abbott and Costello. No. The ultimate Purim Suda. Who got together? Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. Rabba was the ultimate joker. He was a comedian. Everything was a joke. He was the holiest person in Klal Yisrael, but he had a good sense of humor. And Rabbi Zeira, the world is coming to an end. The world, let's use the big thing, the Litvak. The real Litvak with shackles. And Gloom says, he said, hey, he never ever missed the Tachman. If he comes to a shul and they're not saying Tachman, he'll go to another shul. He never ever missed the Tachman, Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi probably never said Tachman. There was always some good reason not to say Tachman. And what happened on Purim? Only Hashem could arrange such a thing. They had a Su'udas Purim together. Could you imagine such a Su'udas Purim? A joker with a depressed person. And what happened? Rabbi tried to cheer him up. He tried to cheer him. Kom Rabbi, Shachtei L'Rabbi Zeira. And what it means that he slaughtered him, he told him a joke. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle a joke. Rabbi told him a joke. And when he told him a joke, Parcha Nishmasa, he couldn't handle the joke. He had to resuscitate him, call Atzala, to bring him back. He couldn't handle the joke. The next year, he said, "Nu, come again, I'll tell you another joke." La b'chol yoyma misrachei shnisa. He'll tell me a joke, I won't be able to handle. Who says this year Atzala will be able to resuscitate me? That's what Chazal say. So every time you look at the Chazal's version, once you know that, their personalities, this is a very important thing that changes the whole daf yomi. Once you have the CIA file on every one of the Tannoim and Amoraim, the Gemara becomes so delicious. Every time you have a mem, when Rabbi says something, there's always some cynicism. There's always like a little twist of humor. In the Divrei Halach, his personality comes out in his Divrei Halach. When you see Rabbi say something, think of Rabbi. Think of the biggest joker that you know, who's a real Yoreh Shemayim. And you look at his statement, his personality comes out in his Divrei Halach. And whenever Rabbi Zeira says something, Rabbi Zeira, the gloom and doom, Mr. Gloom and Doom, whenever he says a Divrei Halach, yeah, of course that's what you would say.
Where did we see Rabbah was a joker?
I don't have all the sources. I have a whole sefer, is a two-volume sefer that goes through the guy, whoever wrote the sefer, is a genius of geniuses. He knows Shas on his fingertips, and he takes every single one of the he takes many of them of the famous Tanoim and Amorayim, and he must work for the CIA.
Everything that said is Shas about him.
He must work for the CIA. He obviously has a koyach of
it so many times already, just to look up each time. I go through it like weekly, certain names of the sefer. Tell me they...
the difference. I think I'm working with a different sefer. The sefer is not...
Because it lists every Tana Namorah.
Yeah.
It tells you, it puts every piece of Gemara that mentions their name.
And creates a profile.
Yeah.
A profile.
Right.
Like what they do in the CIA. In the CIA, everyone knows this.
What sefer are you calling that?
I don't remember the name of the sefer. I don't know. I have it. It's a two-volume sefer. You're referring to a different sefer.
Yeah, maybe.
Very different sefer.
It's a two-volume sefer.
I have a two-volume sefer. It's pretty new. It's relatively 10 years old at most.
Okay. What's the name of the sefer?
I don't know.
It's called the Talmud, the history of the Talmud, the Tanoim and Amoraim. There's one it follows up for the Gaonim as well, and the,
But it creates a personality profile. Look, and we all know that in the government, when every time there's a new head of state, I'm sure the United States, no question, they have a profile. On every single world leader. So when the President of the United States goes to visit a head of state, what is he like? What kind of wine does he like? What kind of jokes does he like?
Right.
And you want to butter him up. You want to understand how will he react. You know his personality. You know his
psychological profile.
Psychological. People that sit the whole day in the garden, they do this. They study people and they analyze what makes them tick. To be able to predict how they will react to given situations. You have money to burn, that's what you do. You hire people the whole day to do this and you create profiles. So this person must have worked for them and he's trained in this matter and he creates a profile on all the other Tanaim, the Amoraim. And when you know their profile, you understand and you read a Maimon Chazal, it's amazing. It creates a whole new world. You know, your yeshiva, Abaye says this, Rava says this, you memorize this.
You always know what
Reish Lakish. It's like A says this, B says this. When you understand who they are, where they're coming from, you know where they live, you know their matzav in life, that's right, that's exactly what he would say. And now I see how he's consistent with what he said over there. It opens up a whole new dimension to appreciate the halacha. It adds an enormous amount of value to appreciating a daf gemara when you know who you're dealing with. I mean, it's like in your own family.
You understand why they're saying what they're saying. Right,
right.
Their own life experience.
Everyone knows their own children. This child is the way he thinks, what he likes, and this child is what he thinks, and you want to go buy a present. What do you buy? To him, I'm going to buy a tie. Here, I'm going to go buy a new computer. I'm not telling them chidushim. You understand? So why do we only limit this only to people that we know? How come we don't show you the people, the people, and that will open up your mind in ways that are beyond belief to absorb instantaneously what they're telling you? Because I understand now. I understand what you're saying. It's very worthy. Amar Rabbi Zoira. Nishaya da nohagon deloy lemish doya. Women are this is, there's a minhag, this is a very interesting minhag. We gave a whole shiur on this. This past year before Tisha, this year and the year before, there is a minhag that women do not spin thread. When the women, the nohagon deloy lemish doya, he's very kind for us over here. He translates the words of the editor. There are two threads. There's the shasi thread and there is the erev thread. I always mix them up. Which one is, the maise oireg? The maise oireg is the loom. You make a garment. The weaving machine. The weaving machine. So you have to set up the threads on the bati nidin and on the amudim and on the with the buchya. All the terminology of the of 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 uh, weaving garments. There are the vertical threads, the horizontal threads. The shasi, I think, is the thread that goes on the buchya. On the buchya. The buchya is the
thing that they throw back and forth.
You roll up, and it's thick. It's thick. It has a thickness to it, and it's used for different shiurim and laws of the goyim. There's the Erev thread, and there is the shasi thread. And the time of Chazal, there was an industry standard of how thick the Erev thread is, how thick is the shasi thread. Today, you know, fish, I bought not long ago, I needed fishing string for something. So I went on to Amazon. Wow, unbelievable, what a Torah to go buy fishing string. There's only 1,000 products you can buy. 1,000 companies make fishing string. And and they come in different sizes. I can't tell the difference for the life of me, the difference between this size and this size and this size and this size, and they present you 10 sizes. Oy, gewalt. And they are industry standards. How much power? This 80 pounds. This can hold 200 pounds. And the difference in size is, to the naked eye, it's almost impossible to see. It's unbelievable. So in time of Chazal, it's the same thing. There is the Erev thread, and there is the Shasi thread. The Erev thread has a certain thickness, and the Shasi thread has a different thickness. And the Mishnayis, and some of the more exotic Mesechtas, discuss these things. In Mesechta Negoyim, talks about the size of a nega, it's the thickness of a Shasi thread, and this and that. These are important. Now, to make a Shasi thread, you have to spin it. There was a minhag that women did not prepare the shasi threads on Chodesh Av. They did not do the entire Chodesh Av. It says Shlomo Sader Eschute Hashasi Binul. Binul. Binul is it's one of the I remember we looked this up a little bit once on the Mishnayis and the Sechta Negoyim. It's one of the objects in which you use to make the thread. You take the wool, and you have to clean it, you have to comb it, and then you have to spin it. And there's these very sophisticated machines. They have, you see them, they have on Google Images. They can find all the images of what the nul looks like. It's a certain type of device that you use to create the shasi thread. When min de'ov olel, the word olel is the Hebrew is the Aramaic term for when of enters. When chodesh av, chodesh av, bishnichnas chodesh av. This is correct. Why? Why are women withholding themselves when they're on strike in Chodesh Av not to spin thread? What, it's a simcha? It's no simcha to spin thread. What's the big deal? The answer is because the word, it's a zecher, it's a beautiful minute. Chutei hashasi. They're called shasi, but the word shasi is related to the word over here, Even shasiya. And the Beis HaMikdash is called the shasiya. How do you know this pasuk? Ki hashasois yehoreisun. Hashem, are you going to allow it to be said that the Beis HaMikdash was torn down? The Beis HaMikdash that's called the shasi, the foundation of this world. So you learn from this part that we learned today that the Beis HaMikdash is called Shasi. As a zecher that we don't have the Shasi of the world today, Nashim are on strike. The Chodesh Av, they don't prepare Shasi. The Shasi threads. Shaboy Pasko Evan Shasiya Matam Hamakar Shkashachar Beis HaMikdash Av Evan HaShasiya Neharsa. Now note why. Ki HaShasois Yehoreisun. The Evan Shasi has been demolished. So how can you go see over here that the Dome of the Rock is the Evan Shasiya? The Feresh Chazal. Feresh Chazal says that the Evan Shasiya has been demolished. It's not there anymore. It's been destroyed. This massive stone over there is the Evan Shasiya. Very, very unlikely. It's very unlikely that was nothing more than the foundation of a tower. Okay, we have concluded this pasuk. I'm happy we spent a lot of time on this because this is a very good. This is a lot of good stuff in our pasuk. And Hashem, tomorrow we're going to go to pasuk Dalit. Let's take a short break. I want to talk about Shabbos. This week is the Aseres Hadibros, and the third dibur is Zohor Es Yoyim HaShabbos. We'll show you. Shomer Zohar. This week is Zohar Shomer. The first luchos is Zohar. Zohar, it's Yom HaShabbos, the Kaddishon.
Oh, who cares?